In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about walking with God. Again, it's good to see everyone able to be out this morning. We're blessed to have this location while the work is being done in the building. And just to repeat again, Wednesday evening we'll have Bible study at the Lovelies, which that has worked out well. So when we read about Enoch, you might say, well, who is Enoch? Enoch was the son of Jared, the father of Methuselah, Genesis 5:21 and Luke 3:37. His father was 160 years old when he was born. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years when he was translated without tasting death. His whole life on earth was 365 years. He was the seventh from Adam, as distinguished from the son of Cain, the third from Adam. So Enoch was one of the early patriarchs. In Jude 1:14, we read, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." So he was a patriarch. He was a prophet speaking the words of God. And he is spoken in the catalog of Old Testament worthies in the epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11:5. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And stop and think about this. When he was translated, only Adam, so far as recorded, had yet died a natural death, and Noah was not born, just to put things in the history of the beginning of time. Again, Enoch's mention of him prophesying only in Jude 1:14. So Enoch is one that there's not a lot said about, but the phrase "he walked with God" is so important for us to learn today. We must learn how to walk with God. The Hebrews had a beautiful expression to describe those that were consistent in their daily religion. They called it walking with God. The relationship was felt every day of their lives, not just on some special day. Or we might today say, not just on Sunday. It was this natural fellowship, this oneness. And the biography of Enoch should encourage us to imitate the life that we find in him. He walked with God. So Enoch walked with God. Again, this is this ongoing fellowship, this oneness with God. Enoch realized God's existence, and he recognized his presence. In Hebrews 11 and verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, we know the verse after that. We know that very well. But we usually don't read verse 5. So Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So when we use Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him," that has reference back to Enoch, the faith that he had. And he pleased God so much that God took him. God took him to be with him. Well, God is not going to take us today to live with him. But can we have the same kind of experience that Enoch had with God? We can walk through this life in the light of God, his assurance and strength and confidence. But Again, this phrase, walking with God, is used frequently throughout the Bible. In Genesis 6:9, we read about Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Genesis 17:1, we read about Abraham walking with God. Isaiah 2:5, walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah walked with God. 2 Kings 23, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Hezekiah, the good king, walked with God. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Paul exhorts the church at Colossae, Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Christ. So if there is to be a postscript added to the Bible, would my name be inserted in there? Would your name be inserted in there as an example that you walked with God? And if not, why not? If I say, oh, my name wouldn't be put in there, I can't do that. Well, why not? We have example after example. Paul exhorted the church to walk worthy of the Lord. And John talks about walking with God, having fellowship with Him. In 1 John 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, back under the patriarchal age, how did the people know what God wanted them to do? God spoke to the patriarchs. God spoke to the fathers of the households. But we have everything recorded that we need to know, that we need to have to be pleasing to God. And it's interesting that Enoch was singled out by the Holy Spirit twice as referred to as walking with God, so that we would have his example for all time. So what is implied when Enoch, or when we walk with God today? Well, again, as I said, one of the things is it implies harmony. Harmony may be hard to define, but you can see it. You think about a marriage. If you see a marriage that's where the husband and wife are in harmony, it's easy to recognize. You see a marriage where the husband and wife are not in harmony, that is easy to recognize also, and that is not a good thing. A husband and wife, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I did something and I said something, and Carol said, I knew you were going to say that. You spend so much time with somebody, you know how somebody thinks, you know what they're going to say, you know what they're going to do. How much time do we spend with God? Does God know? And hopefully, all of us following the same guideline, we're all going to think the same thing, say the same thing, do the same thing when it comes to God's Word. Just the example with marriage and a husband and wife being in harmony. You think about a man and a woman that get married and they have a different outlook on money. One of them wants to spend everything that they've got and go into debt and keep on spending. And the other one wants to spend very conservatively. There's not going to be harmony. And we hear and know people all the time that get into arguments about money because they are not in harmony. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And Paul tells us in Romans 8, verses 6 and 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we are to be spiritually minded. But if we let our fleshly body reign our carnal mind, we are not going to be in harmony. What does it mean to walk with God? It implies keeping His commandments. How can you tell what someone's heart is? You can tell what their heart is by what they obey. Obedience is the true test of a right heart. Someone says they love God, they can say they love God all day long. But if they do not obey what God says to do, we know that heart is not right. 1 John 2:3-6. Now by this, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He doesn't say, he just has a difference of opinion. He calls him a liar. But whoever keeps the word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk as He has walked. You call yourself a Christian? I call myself a Christian. I ought to act like a Christian. I need to be in harmony. Enoch was not famous for being rich, for being powerful. Enoch was famous for his personal purity. And when I think of that, I think of someone else that was famous for his purity. The young man Joseph. Joseph, when he was away from home, sold into slavery. His brothers wanted to kill him, sold into slavery. And his master's wife made sexual advances to him, and he kept saying no. He said it wasn't right for him to have another man's wife. And how did he know that? Well, you think, though, too, he was in a strange land. He was a young man. Nobody would know. What would be wrong with that? He knew it was wrong. And how did he know? Did he know because of what Jesus taught on marriage? No, Jesus hadn't come on the scene. Did he know because of the Ten Commandments? No, the Ten Commandments hadn't been given at that time. He knew from the teaching of his parents about the law of marriage, which goes all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning, and he had this respect for God, and he was going to keep himself pure. Walking with God implies progress. Walking is not standing still. Walking is moving forward. We are to mature. We are to grow. If I'm at the same place as I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, I'm not walking with God. I'm not growing. I'm not progressing. And then Enoch was not. Hebrews 11:5, but by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had testimony that he pleased God. And this phrase, and was not found, suggests that he was missed. If we weren't here, would someone try to find us? Would we be missed? If someone were to say, what about so-and-so? Oh, I completely forgot about them. Enoch was the type of person that made an influence on everybody. Would we be missed? Or would people even know that we were gone? This also suggests that he was a social person. He wasn't a solitary person that wanted to be by himself. People knew him. Enoch would have been missed because his life was a good one. You think about somebody that's died, and you just think, boy, he's really going to be missed. We all know people like that. He's really going to be missed because he was such a social person, had influence on people. Enoch would have been missed because his life was a good one. He lived in a busy but wicked world. Jude 1:14, and again, you think back to the beginning of time, and when sin came into the world, evil came in, it spread, and by the time Noah came along, the world was so evil that God wanted to destroy it. But in Jude 1:14 again, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Enoch spoke out about this ungodliness. I didn't count how many times ungodly is mentioned, but Jude mentions it over and over and over. He says that God is coming to execute judgment, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. Enoch didn't keep quiet. It's sad, but even today there are many good people, but we don't appreciate them until they're gone. We don't appreciate them until they're gone. We think back, this was the same thing during the time of Christ, Matthew 13:54. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, where is this man this gotten this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, aren't they with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Some people, they live a good life, but they aren't going to be appreciated because the people around them, their family, we know who this is. He's nobody special. And they don't listen to what they say. Again, the writer of Hebrews seems to imply that God took Enoch because he was well pleased with them. What is implied by God took him? It implies victory. Victory. Others had to die, but Enoch was spared that ordeal. Death is inevitable for all of us unless Christ comes back first. Christ has conquered death by taking away its sting. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. We know that. And we can overcome death and be faithful to Christ. So Enoch, he walked with God. I hope we understand that, but then the question is, well, how do we become like Enoch where we can walk with God? Now the next four points that I have, I've heard these points made ever since I was a little boy. I knew Carol was going to whisper that, what she said. But these points have been, I've just heard them over and over and over, and they're true. So if we want to walk with God, what is the first thing that we should do? Let me suggest, let God say something to us every day. How many days do you go by without even opening up your Bible to read what God has to say? How much time do you spend in your Bible when you open it to read it? If you're doing your lesson, do you just read just the verse to fill in the blank? Or do you want to know what God is saying to us? Do we want to know what the context is, what the backstory is? So many go day after day without looking into God's book. And by doing this, they are refusing to allow God to say something to them. Just think back in the day when you had a phone on the wall or maybe in an office and someone calls in and they say, so-and-so is on the line for you. And you say, nope, not going to take it. That wouldn't go over too well. God is calling us every day in His Word. And we say, nope, not going to take it. Don't have time for that call. We've got to let God say something to us every day. God has many things to say to us, and we ought to be anxious to listen to Him. What if a loved one called on your phone? And someone else had picked up your phone and answered it, and they said, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your best friend called. They want to talk to you. Nope. Not going to talk to them. When we listen to God, then we do not have to walk in darkness. And we say, oh, I don't want to walk in darkness. We don't know if we're walking in darkness unless we listen to God or read what He says to know what the difference is between light and darkness. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. God's word is one of those lifelines that we must have. We must have it every day. We must desire it. And we should take great delight in listening to God talk to us. There are some people, you think about relatives or close friends, and people say, I could listen to them talk all day. They're just so encouraging. They've got so much wisdom. They've got so much knowledge, so many things to help in life. I could listen to them all day. Friends, who has more to say to us than God? And we don't want to listen to Him. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate day and night. When we love folks, we delight in their work. We read about some in the New Testament, Acts 17:11. They search the Scriptures to find out the truth. And when we search a thing, we don't just give it a mere glance. And Jesus wants us to search the Scriptures, John 5:39. That implies spending some time. You see, people with these metal detectors going out whenever they have spare time, trying to find some buried treasure in the sand. They're searching. We have all the treasure in the world right here in this book. We're commanded to study 2 Timothy 2:15. Is there anybody that thinks that they can truly walk with God and not spend time letting God talk to you every day? So the first thing is, if we want to walk with God, we need to let God say something to us every day. The second thing is, we need to say something to God every day. Not only should we allow God to say something to us, we should say something to Him. Prayer. How many times does a day go by when we don't pray as we should pray, and thanking for our many blessings? To do less than that is ingratitude. You just think about everything that God has given us, and we don't have the time to stop and thank Him. Someone has said, prayer will stop sin, or sin will stop prayer. Why is it we don't pray as we ought? Maybe there's some sin involved. Maybe there's something that's taking us where we're spending more time involved in something else than thinking about our Heavenly Father. Prayer has stopped sin in many people. When we pray, that's one of the weapons that we have. That will help us walk with God. Our sins have separated us from God. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we need to pray to God that He will forgive us of our sins. We need to repent. But we need to say something to God every day. What if your spouse didn't talk to you for days on end? Or what if they said good morning and good night and they didn't say anything in between? What if your children did that? You'd say, something's wrong here. We need to talk a minute. God wants to have this ongoing relationship with His children, Him talking to us and us talking to Him. Real prayer avails so much. James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we need to say something to God every day. The third thing is we should say something for God every day. Now, this is different than just praying to God. We should say something for God. We should allow God to say something to us every day. We should say something to God every day. And we should say something for God. Well, what does that mean? That means we tell somebody else about God. We tell somebody else what God has done for us. We tell somebody, it's not hard. Hasn't God given us a beautiful day today? Did you see that sunset that God gave us? Did you see this that God did? We say something for Him. How are people going to know about God? Again, an angel is not going to come down and talk to them. They aren't going to have some vision. We are the instruments for other people to learn about God. And we need to say something for God every day. Psalm 73:28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all your works. You read through the Psalms and David does that over and over and over. Declaring the works of God. The heavens declare the mighty works of God. Sometimes we're too prone not to speak a word for God every day. We just need, if we want to walk with God, if we want to be like Enoch, we need to work more of God into our speech. I do. All of us do. We need to work God into our speech because people out there are dying because of sin. Are they going to read my mind and read my mind and think, oh, he's thinking that I need to read God's word and go study with them? They aren't going to do that. We've got to open our mouth and say something to them. God is not speaking directly to poor lost souls today, but we can. We can tell them about the love of God. Many are turned out of the way that might be turned back to the way of life if we were to talk to them about their souls. And you stop and think about that. Sometimes somebody will come into the church and then they leave and you hear people talking. Well, I wonder why they left. Well, if we're talking with them all the time, we're going to know what's going on in their mind, what their concerns are. We may not be able to stop, but sometimes we don't think about talking to somebody. Somebody comes, we never talk to them, and then we don't think about talking to them until after they've left. And what good is it going to do then? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5:19-20. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We need to look for opportunities to say something. Opportunities are lying all around us on behalf of God and His great scheme of redemption. You think, what greater story is there to tell somebody than the story of the Bible? The story that God wrote for us about the salvation of man that comes from God through Christ, that we might have a home with them in heaven for time without end. The scheme of redemption. the stories of the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the history of the world. What greater thing is there to talk about than that? But sometimes we talk about everything under the sun, or again, what we've seen on the news, or this event or that event. We need to say something for God. While others are talking for air, we should be busily engaged in talking for God. It seems to me like what we would call progressive liberal thinking people that have gone outside the boundaries of God's word, they speak freely about what they believe, even though it's wrong, which may intimidate us, because if we speak up, they'll say you're too legalistic. No, we just want to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. But again, speak. We got to open our mouth. When we associate in a social and a business way with our friends, how good it would be if we would drop a few words for God into the conversation. People should be able to tell there's something different about our life. I mentioned like going to the grocery store after service, and the one person said, "You're my first churcher this morning. How was church?" And asked us when we went Wednesday night. The lady, different lady, and she said, "Well, how was your church service tonight? I know you came from church." People recognize that. We were at a business the other day, and the owner of it lives up the road, and I forget how it came up, but Joe said, and it was Joe and Carol and myself, and Joe said, "Yeah, you can do this and that while Bruce is back in his office working on his sermons." People see, they speak. We need to be more outgoing, saying more things. We don't have to tell somebody the whole gospel plan and hold them hostage for 30 minutes. We just need to drop a seed here, drop a seed there. So we need to let God say something to us every day. We need to say something to God every day. We need to say something for God every day. And we need to do something for God every day. Our days are full of things that we do. Not enough of what we do is doing for God. We should look for opportunities of doing good. Galatians 6:10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." And Matthew 5:16 says, "One of the greatest things that we can do for God is to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven." Friends, we can have a powerful influence just by the simple little life that we live, because this person that is lost may not see anybody else living a Christian life except me or except you. We should not shine our lights. We should not blind people. We should let our light shine. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Anything we do for someone else, it's futile. A company can love you to death until they let you go. They can promise you the world until they go out of business. They can make you all kinds of promises, and then all of those money promises and those monetary promises and benefits just disappear. Friends, nothing that we do for God is going to be in vain. Everything is going to be rewarded. Friends, Enoch should be an example to all of us. When I think of these four simple things, I know I fall short. I need to do a better job of this. And we look, I'm just amazed at the length of time that Enoch lived and he walked with God. Sometimes with life, we get off track, we get distracted. We might be on a good streak and then have a slump. We might feel, oh, woe is me. We're dealing with all of these building problems and we lose focus. Year after year after year after year, hundreds of years, Enoch walked with God. It makes me embarrassed to think of what I do compared to this example that we have recorded for us. Friends, I pray that we would all look to him. We would all set our hearts to do right, set our hearts to do what God wants us to do, and know that he will take care of us, that he will reward us with what he has said he would. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.